The Rama writes here in Sifhei, Asuleshe del Safsal Aruch Shemith Nadedes, the Enam Mikhuberes Akosa, Kish Ishta Nida Yoshevesalav. The person is not allowed to sit on a long bench, which is shaky, which is moving. A long bench presumably means even a long bench, if it's moving, if it is not connected to the wall, while his wife, who is Anita, is sitting on the same bench as well. Some permit this if someone is sitting between them. What's this based on? So the Mordechai in the first Parak of Shabbos, Mordechai Simon Reish Lamed Tes, quotes Vishem Rashi that there's an Isser Leishev Al Kisei Aruch Asher Ishto Nida Yosheves Alav. So the citation of Rashi in the Mordechai is that you're not permitted to sit on a long chair that your wife is sitting on if she is a Nida. And that citation of Rashi makes no distinction between a rickety chair, a rickety bench, and a stable bench. There's no mention of nid-nud in that Mordechai. Similarly, the Sefer Orah that we quoted last time, which lists a number of harchokos from the Beis Medrash of Rashi, so in that list, the Sefer Orah has, it's also in the Sefer Pardes, Lo Yeshev Al Moshava. You should not sit on her chair. That may or may not be the same Harchaka that the Mordechai is referring to. As Rabbi Karr points out in the context that we put in last time, that within some of the Harchakas there seems to be a origin of Hilchos Tumah that is behind some of the harchakas that we have, even if there's also a kiruv das element. So within that list of harchakos that have an origin within some of the Torah, this may fall into that category as well. Lo yeshev al moshava, because of tuma issues. But either way, whether or not this is the kavod of the sefer ora, this iser lo yeshev al kisei aruch, neither the Sefer Orah, Sefer Pardes, or the Mordechai in their citation of Rashi make any distinction between whether it is shaky or not. So who does have this distinction? The Beis Yosef here quotes from the Or HaChaim that a person should not sit on a bench which is Eino Kavua, because it has the potential of shaking. So you shouldn't sit with your wife who's Anita on a bench that is not firmly attached to the wall because of the possibility of shaking. Okay, so we haven't explained what the concern is yet. And then you have the Mordechai, then you have the Tumas Hadeshen, which is quoted in the second half of this Rama, Tumas Hadeshen Simen Reish Nun Aleph, who raises the question whether it's permissible for a husband and his wife, who's Anita, to travel together in a wagon, even if the husband is in the front and the wife is in the back, if they are traveling for a Tiyul, the Ganos Upardesim. And here also the Tumas Hadeshen doesn't distinguish between, or doesn't raise the issue of shaking versus not shaking. Question is, are you allowed to travel in a wagon, even if husband and wife are not sitting on the same in the same part of the wagon, for pleasure purposes? So that's what's quoted here in the Rama in the second part. V'chein lo yelech im ishto v'agala achas, o v'svina achas. You shouldn't travel in the same wagon, the same boat. If you're just going for a pleasure ride, the chayotze does that. Aval and holik the early ear, the sarachav, if you're going for a purpose, that's mutter. Afa pishahu the ishto heim levadan, the levad sheyeshu v'derech shelo yibu zebazeh, as long as you avoid a possibility of Nigia. Okay. So what are the concerns that are at play here within the first part of the Ramah, who formulates an Isser of sitting on a Sasal Shemis Nenes, and then the second part of the Ramah that talks about traveling in a Nagala, even if it is not Misnaneid, Litiol as opposed to Litzorech. So the Taz here in Sivkat and Vav, Taz assumes that the primary issue of concern is one of Hergel Avera / Hirhor. That if you're going to be sitting on a Safsal Aruch, especially if it's somewhat wobbly, then that could lead to Hirhor / Hergel Avera. If you look in the Nekudas HaKesef, the Shachir on the side of the Nekudas HaKesef writes, the concern is not hear her per se, but rather, Kevin Shemisna Nendes, since the Safal is wobbly, Havi Kinagia. So it is like Nagia. So Kinagia sounds like even if you can avoid actual Nagia, but the fact that you are sitting on the same level in a way that somehow your movement causes her movement or vice versa, that the movement of one impacts the movement or the sensation of the other, so that in and of itself, even if they're not physically touching, is considered kinagia and therefore problematic. And then the Shachar is a different concern. Inami, keva d'shnei yam yoshim aleha v'yakad havaleka yashin ima v'mita. That even if they're not touching, but the fact that they're sitting together on this bench is analogous to Mita Achas, which is going to be Aser.
Would he agree with it from the same time of fingering for pleasure? No, not because Kanye's reason doesn't seem to give it to be caught.
So given that we're talking about a concern which is kinagia, but not nagia mamish, which is somewhat more amorphous. So presumably there may be grounds to distinguish between different levels of need. You have to balance the concern of kinagia with the need for that particular venture. And the Aruch HaShulchan formulation is a little different than Mashach. Aruch HaShulchan and Sivkat and Yates, he writes the concern is that of Nagia Mamish. Not that the fact that you are both on a level and the movement of one impacts on the movement of another is Kinagia, but we're concerned that in that situation you may come to actual Nagia. So let's go back to the Hefter of the Ramah here in the first part. The Ramah first formulated an Isser of sitting on a long Safsal which is rickety. But then he said, Yesh Matirin Kisha Adam Akir Masik Liyoshevinei. But there are grounds to be Mako if someone is sitting between them. So this is based on a Sefer Aguda, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe. But in the original source of the Sefer Aguda, cited in the Darkei Moshe, he actually writes, Adam o Teva, that either a person can be mafsik or an object can be mafsik. The Ramah here, when he quotes this heter from the Aguda, leaves out o Teva. Ramah just writes that you could be Mako if there is an Adam Acher Masik, but makes no mention of be Mako if there is a Teva Masik. So is that an intentional omission, or is Adam Echad Lav Dafka? The Bavi Shulchan thinks that it's Dafka. dafka the macher and not a teva. What should this depend on? So Rabbi Karp suggests that this should be dependent on what is the primary concern about safsal habas not made to begin with. If the concern is a chashash negia, let's say the Aruch HaShulchan is a chashash negia, so then one would be much more likely to not distinguish between an Adam HaMasik and a Teva Masik, as long as the object that is placed between the husband and wife is enough, or wide enough, long enough, big enough to prevent unwanted negia, so then that should obviate the problem. If the concern is Kirav Das, so then the fact that you have a chepet between the husband and wife doesn't do too much to mitigate the Kirav Das. You have a person sitting behind them, so that goes much further in mitigating potential hear her slash Kirav Das. So if your concern is along the lines of the Taz, so then it makes more sense to distinguish between an Adam HaMasik and a Chepet HaMasik. If the concern is Negia, but definitely if it's the Aruch HaShulchan's formulation of Negia, so then one would be more likely to allow for a Chepet to be Masik just as well as an Adam. Shai.
I was going to say, when you talk about Kara Afta, so the same Shulchan, you have a hecker on the table, it's not
right.
Nothing to do with Kirav Das.
So, that may have to do with Kirav Das.
So then this table should be the same thing.
Well, it depends on the situation, meaning there, so you're saying, okay, here the Taz formulation is hear her, which may be a little bit different than Kirav Das. The point of having a heker on Shulchan Echad is a shinoi. You're doing something different than the normal way of doing it. So here, if I have a chepet between them, so you could argue that a shinoi is shinoi enough to obviate the problem of hearer. That's the question.
To that end, So there's a Siddur Tara who says a shinoi shouldn't even help on a table.
The Siddur Tara said that within the position of the Rush, that the Iker Adin, the Iser Shulchan Echad, only applies to a small Shulchan, so then Hacker won't help for Kirav Das. So you have that also. Good. Okay. Good. So how do these halachos apply to cars? So Ramosha in a couple of tshuvas assumes that a car is better than a safo hamisnanet, or better than an agola. So if you look, for example, at Igros Moshe Yerodeya Chelek Aleph Simen Sadi Beis, Yerodeya Chelek Aleph Simen Sadi Beis, he says that when a Ramah talks about a Sfina, that's talking about a small Sfina that is going to move in response to minimal movements of its passengers. Same is true for a wagon, that if one passenger moves in a certain direction, that it could impact on the balance of the wagon. But a car is like a Sfina Gadol, it's like a big ship. That the fact that one person is sitting on one seat in the car is not going to impact on the entire movement of the car under normal circumstances. So therefore, as long as husband and wife are careful to avoid negia, there's no problem in them sitting in the same car, even on the same cushion. So writes Rav Moshe as well, Chelek Beis Simen Ayin Zayin, that even if there's going to be some movement that could be attributable to the wife, but bottom line, the car seat is kavua, it's connected to the car, so that's the equivalent of mechubel kosel, and therefore it doesn't pose a problem of agola or safsal hamisnane. And even in a situation in which a husband and wife are sitting in the back seat, so the poskim assume that if there are three seats in the back, it's not advisable that you should have someone else sit between the husband and wife. that could make things worse. So if a husband and wife need to stay next to each other, so they should be mocked, careful to avoid nagia. Rabbi Willick says that we're mako to allow for a chepet hamatzik, not that's an other hamatzik, so if you have a pocketbook which could be placed strategically between husband and wife, that should obviate any concern. The Yerucha Shulchan writes, Yoni.
What do you think about a coat?
A coat. It
doesn't have actual like form. It doesn't like
If the coat's of enough size and substance that could create a hefsek, presumably that should be okay also. The Yerucha Shulchan assumes there must have over here for Adal and Sina is if it's a tzarech, but not derech tiyul. Because there is a concern, whatever the concern is, a kirdas or here or negiyah or kinegiyah, so that could be avoided where necessary, but better not to get into that situation if you're going with tiyul ba'alma. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that if a woman is anida, so she should not take a walk with her husband either. A tiyul ragli shouldn't even walk together. Clearly no concern of saflam is nanaid as far as nagi is concerned, but a concern of kirgas, of hear her. Most folks can assume that taking a walk under normal circumstances would be mutter. So writes the Chachmas Adam. So writes her Moshe, Chelik Dei Simen Pei Gimel. Her Moshe says, Eini Rov Zeshi Aser, Iser. There's no reason to Aser taking a walk together. The Ramah's concern in Sifhei over here is if they're traveling together in a wagon, on a boat, with Tiyul Ba'alma, so then we're more concerned about Kirub Das, we're more concerned about Nagia. But if they're just taking a walk on their feet, then there's nothing to be Choshesh about. So says Rav Avadya as well, Taras Avayas, page Kuf Mem Dalet, that this position of the Aruch HaShulchan is a Churma Yaseirahi, the Ein Lanu Lahosef Churma Yaseirah Midat Peinu. That this is going too far, and no need to create new Churmos in this area. Nevertheless, despite Rav Moshe's permissive ruling here in Eves Moshe, Rabbi Eider does quote from him on page 201, that while it would be permissible to take a walk with your wife to get fresh air for the purpose of relaxation, but he quotes from Moshe that it should be avoided if it's only for the purpose of, quote, for a good time. Pei, aleph, resh, aleph, etc. So if it's for a good time, then he quotes from Moshe that it should be avoided. A lot of these are matters of common sense that probably not a good idea to go on a walk in some secluded nature trail where you're not going to bump into anyone else. Not a good idea to go on a private vacation. You may need to do so. But these are matters of some discretion. We just got, yeah.
I don't know if everything is different. Mm-hmm. So, like, back to cars. I don't know if you have ever come back to cars or trucks. So,
okay.
Is it usher to be in the same car, like front seat, back seat, or from back seat for a trip?
So, it depends on what you mean by trip. You know, generally, cars are more called than a wagon. So, presumably, we'd be make, if there's any tzarek whatsoever, without thinking twice. If it's to go on a trip that should not be taken dinei nidusav, then the trip shouldn't be taken whether or not you get there by car or not.
So
if it's something where there's no objection to traveling for that purpose, dinei nidusav, then you don't have to think twice about going in a car.
So do we have nafkaminas of like whether it's a trip or...
Again, these nafkaminas of the Ramah, tiyul versus tzoref, are really relevant to car. Because our perspective in a car is like it's tabua. It's not a safuham, it's not made. So if you were to travel in a canoe, so then a canoe should be, or a two-person boat, that should be avoided for pleasurable purposes. Arguably, if you need to travel to visit your parents, and the only way to get to them is by going in a canoe, so then that probably would be mutter. But some for a joyride on a boat, or maybe even a horse and buggy, if you're sitting on the same bench, would be problematic. So,
according to the Talmud, why does it really adapt to be
between them? Yeah, because even if the person somewhere else, but not between them, so that doesn't obviate or mitigate the kiruv of das or the hero as much. Okay. We discussed last time the din of lo yesha b'mita miyuchedes la, and then the din of the Ramah that the bed shouldn't even touch. What about sleeping on the top and bottom of a bunk bed? The Baal Yishulchan raises this issue. Baal Yishulchan, I don't have a sukkah in front of me. The Baal Yishulchan raises this issue as to whether a husband and wife can sleep on the top and bottom of a bunk bed, and he assumes lakula. Rabbi Ruah just pointed out that this question may depend on what the concern of Safo Hadisnanin is. If it's a concern of hear her, hear that, so it's arguable that if a husband is on the top of the bunk bed and the wife is on the bottom, there's no here or here das, they can't even see each other. But if you have a concern of kinagia, as the shach does, that being on a safam is not made, where the movement of one could impact the movement of the other, is definitionally a problem, so then maybe you could argue that the bunk bed could be problematic as well. Okay, let's just try to finish up some of the remaining stuff from the simon, so we can move on next time. The Mechaber writes in Se'if Zayin, Lo yisak al afilu v'ikva v'lo v'mkomas ha'mechusim shaba. Actually, before that. The Piskei Shuvah here in Sifkat and Yud raises a question: is it permissible to listen to your wife sing b'mei nidusa? Is there a prohibition of kol isha b'mei nidusa? So the Piskei Shuvah in Sifkat and Yud leaves that as a tzarachim. Ramosha writes in Chelik Beisim and Ayin Hay. Chelik Beisim and Ayin Hay that since the Piskei Shuvah left this as a tzarachim, it's appropriate to be machmir. And a lot of the contemporaries started to take that approach. However, Rav Avadya is Mako. Rav Avadya writes, machmir tavla bracha, but Mikra din Rav Avadya thinks that you could be Mako on this. Rabbi Karp quotes from Rav Yashiv, that Me'ikar Adin is mutter. If Me'ikar Adin, it might be appropriate to be machmir, but he says Me'ikar Adin is mutter to listen to Kol Ishto Nida, as long as she's not singing dafka for him. Meaning if you're singing Zmiros, or she's singing a lullaby to the baby, so then there's no problem Me'ikar Adin in listening to Kol Ishto. And I saw in the Sefer Balei Lo Yibo, he quotes from Rosh Hashanah Zaman as well, that Rosh Hashanah Zaman was Mako on the issue of Kol Isha for Ishta Nida. Rabbi Willig is Mako as well. So there are notable poskim that are Mako, even though most of the Kitter books seem to be Matthew on the Shiloh. Okay. The Gemara has in Ksubas and Daf Samach Aleph, Kol Melachos She'isha Osa Labayla Nida Osa Labayla. Most things that a woman generally does in serving her husband are permissible in any dusa. Except for three things that are more intimate in nature: pouring a cup, making the bed, spreading out the bed, and washing his face, hands, and feet. So what is the geder of Niziga Sakos? So Shulchan Aruch, it says here in Sif Yud, Chut Mimizigas HaKos, Shasura Limzog HaKos, that she's not allowed to pour the cup, or Ma'ed Zafanov, Ulanichol Lafanov Al HaShulchan, so she can't pour a cup for her husband, and she can't leave it in front of him on the table, unless there's some kind of a heker, either she puts it down with her left hand, or she puts it on a pillow and hopes that it doesn't spill, or... Right, so those are the hekerim of the Mechaber based on the Gemara there in Ksubas Samach Aleph. So what is the gather of Nizigas HaKos? Nizigas Kos of what? So the Beis Yossi points out over here that the simple reading of the Rashba is that this prohibition extends only to wine. There's a unique issur Nizigas Kos Shoyayin because drinking wine creates a certain feeling of intimacy that you don't have by other beverages. So the Isser Mezigah Takos is limited to Yayin. The Beis Yossi B'Da'as HaRashba. It's pretty befarish in the Rashba and Taras HaBayis. Then the Beis Yossi notes that there seems to be a stira in the Mashmos of the Magen Mishnah. The Rambam, the end of Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, just lists among his list of archakos the Isra Meziga Sakos, and the Magen Mishnah writes Meziga Sakos shel Yayin Dafka Aval shel Mayim Mutter. The Meziga Sakos is Usher Dafka if it's Yayin, but water is permissible. So what about everything else? So we could be Medayik, the Reish, Medayik, and the Seifa. Is it Yayin to the exclusion of everything else, or is it water? Water is definitely Mutter. Yayin is definitely Usher. What about everything? So the Beis Yossi points out that you could be medayik either way in the Magen Mishnah, but it's conceivable the Magen Mishnah could agree to the Rashba that the Isser is limited to Yayin. What does Meziga mean? So the Hagos Maimini there in the end of Perek Yud Aleph of the Sirei Dia, he writes that Meziga means the traditional original Meziga Sakos. Meziga Sakos means diluted. People weren't, right, in Hilchos Pesach. People couldn't drink wine straight, bimeyam. They had to dilute the wine with water. So Meziga Sakos literally means diluting the wine with water. But pouring, if you have a ready diluted wine and you want to pour it into a cup, that's not a violation of Meziga Sakos. That's something else. That's pouring. Meziga means mixing. That's what the Hagos Maimini writes. And the Ritva quotes this as a Yesh Omrim as well. The Ritva there in Atsuga in Ksubas and Daf Samach Aleph. The Ritva rejects that position, but he quotes that as a Yesh Omrim and he says it's wrong. The Shach here in Sifkat and Yud Gimel, based on the Sefer HaTrumos, Sefer HaTruma rather, assumes that the Isser of Meziga applies to Shar Mashkim as well. He assumes that's the Kavan of the Sefer HaTruma, that it doesn't only apply to wine, it applies to Shar Mashkim as well. It doesn't apply to water, but it applies to everything other than water. And he seems to assume that it applies not only to mixing, not only to diluting, but applies to pouring as well. And the Shach also assumes, based on a Bach in the Sefer Truma, that the Isser of Mezigas HaKos also applies to serving food. That putting food on your husband's plate would be the same Isser as well. The Taz is not like that. The Taz in Sifkat and Gimel assumes that these halachas apply only to mashke and do not apply to food. So before we come back to drink, as far as food is concerned, Shach is machmir, Taz is mako, Aruch HaShulchan is mako like the Taz, and Rav Avadia demonstrates, page Kuf Pei Vav to Kuf Pei Zayin, that the Shach is based on a misreading of the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma, says Rav Avadia, is only talking about the Isser of Hoshata, of handing directly. So in the context of the Isser of handing directly from one staff to the other, that's the right that applies to Machal as well. But the Sefer HaTruma never intended to say that there's an Isser of putting food on your husband's plate. So that's Rav Avadia's take. And within the contemporary Sarim, you have some that are machmir on food, some that are mako on food. I think our general position is to be mako on putting food on a plate. As far as Mezigas HaKos, so I think we're machmir on Shar Mashkim, and we're machmir on Purim. Rabbi Karp has a kula. He says, since it's anyways Talib Machlokas, so you only have to be machmir on the Shar Mashkim, since that's a Machlokas anyway, you only have to be machmir on mixing. So you can't dilute, or you can't mix drinks, or you can't put sugar in the coffee. That would all be the original Meziga. But the poor, Rabbi Karp thinks that you can be make a lot. But I think we are generally machmir on pouring as well. Right, as far as Kiddush, so we discussed earlier half of the story. So earlier we were discussing the context of Shiurei Mashke. So Moshe had the suggestion that for Kiddush, if the husband drinks from the Kiddush cup and puts it down, and then the wife picks it up and drinks the rest of it, that's okay because she permitted to have his Shiurei Mashke. Rabbi Eider has a second suggestion, which is that if you have multiple people at the table, so then, as far as the other Isser, later in the Siman, of extending or sending a kos, you can't send a kos to your wife, so if you have multiple people on the table, you're going to pour out of your becher into a few cups, and then everyone will take one of the cups, as long as you don't designate one of those cups for your wife specifically, that would also be mutter. The Badi Shulchan is machmir on that, he thinks that's still a problem, but the Rabbi Eider has that as a kula, which Rabbi Willig endorses as well. As far as run to the end of this, as far as Hatzas Hamita is concerned, so Rabbi Eider quotes from Ramosha that most of what we do making beds in and of itself is not necessarily Hatzas Hamita. Hatzas Hamita is something that you do in a more intimate way. So that's something that we don't necessarily have the osamida as they used to. So he writes, it's time to make the bed for cleanliness, anything that you do at night in preparation for going to sleep to prepare the bed, that would be a problem of Asas Hamita. Rabbi Eider B'Shem Ramosha. Rabbi Karp says a little bit differently. He says that if you're going to put a mattress cover on the mattress, so you put a bed cover over the blanket, a blanket cover the blanket, that's something that you do every day. That's obvious, that's not a problem. But something that you do every day to prepare a bed, so he thinks that would be a problem with Sasamita. So clearly, according to that, making beds could be a problem. But in general, I think we're making beds, like Ramosha, that's not considered, just the regular tidying up is not considered Hatzas Hamita. Okay. I think we'll end with that. Next time, Rishon Hashem, we will begin Vestos, Precious.